Father Hill Taggart's with us tonight, and it's a pleasure to have him with us. He's rolling the eyes. I think he's feeling under pressure. I have nobody to roll at, so therefore I have to just go ahead. But brother, we welcome you in the Saviour's name. You're very welcome to the pulpit here, and you're going to come now and testify to what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in our brother's life. And may the Lord bless this testimony even to our hearts.
We want to thank our brother for the words of welcome. I needn't say maybe I'm so happy to be up here. It has been a long time since I have testified. It's not a long time since I stood in the pulpit, because over many years I have sang in open airs and in different churches and praised the Lord. But you cannot sing, "I'm not ashamed to own my Lord," or "to defend his cause, maintain the honour of his word, the glory of his cross." I wouldn't be able to sing if I wasn't able or willing to stand and give a short word, underlined with red ink, a short word of testimony. Could we read just a short word? It's well known. John chapter 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Everlasting life. Now, I was brought up in a farming community outside a wee village about 4 miles outside Glenarm. I am the youngest of a family of 12. And there's not so many around about like that today. The youngest of 12. And my earliest recollections, my mum and dad, they weren't saved at that time, but they had this sort of a setup that with 12, I suppose, you had to keep a tight ship. And there were things you weren't allowed to say and do. But that was how it was. Come on a Saturday afternoon, we got ourselves sorted out. Whatever we had to do around the farm had to be done on Saturday. And the shoes polished and all the rest of it ready for Sunday. Because Sunday was a day that you didn't touch anything in the farm except the work of necessity. And of course, that's how it was. A good home, a lovely mother and a lovely father who brought us up the best they could and provided for us. But Sunday, we didn't do anything. We went, walked when we were fit enough. I don't know what age I was, but we went to church. We hadn't a car. We walked. And there we went down and listened to whatever it was. But let me say this. I don't ever recall ever being told that I needed to be saved. There was a heaven to gain or a hell to shun, or I was bound for hell. But that's how it was. So on we went through school, and then we left school and started to work. We worked and we worked, and then we got ourselves a limousine. I call it the Rolls Royce. Mine are 1,000. Anybody nodding? No? A30? A35. Rolls Royces. Man, the world was my oyster. Could have went hither and thither, here, there and yonder. Not to church. Sadly to say, he never bothered. What was the use? So that's how it was. He got involved in the old pubs, the devil's buttermilk, and the devil's dummy tit. All of those things, sad to say, in the world. The saddest bit of all is this. I think it was the old Miner 1,000. And we lived down a big long lane, and would you come in the early hours of the morning? Think about it, the early hours of the morning, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. Big long lane, and down in we went. But there was a steep incline down into our yard, so there was no steering locks at that time. We just turned the ignition off and turned the lights on, off, and just left the side lights on. Enough to get us down in, into the cassie as we talked about. And nicely opened the door of the car and closed it gently and locked it up. Lifted the latch of the old door, held it up to get inside and dropped it nicely down. No noise. That was good. And up the stairs. And you had to think, number 2 step, it squeaks. So I missed that one. And number 5, it rattles. So you clambered past it, up to the top of the stairs. And there an old mother says, "Is that you in, son? 1, 2 o'clock in the morning?" But let me digress a little bit here. As I look back, there is an old, as I call it, an old camellia. This is what it is. A mother's love's a blessing. No matter where you go, keep her while she's living. You'll miss her. Yes, you'll miss her when she's gone. Love her as in childhood. Though she be old and grey, you'll never miss. Yes, you'll never miss a mother's love till she's buried beneath the clay. Anyway, that was how it was in her life. Then one of my mates decided one Saturday night we would go to one of the local bars in Larntown, top of Key Street. I don't know where you know the streets or not, but anyway, it's not there now. Praise the Lord, it's gone. But into the bar we went, and of course, sit down. What are you having? Well, those days, wee small bottle, but that height, disgraceful. It's not good. By the way, I'm not gloating in what I've done. I'm not here to give the devil the glory. God is getting the glory tonight. Sat down and he says to me, "What are you having?" "Oh," I says, "I'll have a wee willy." That's what they called it. So we sat in the corner and we got the old fag out. Now listen to what I'm telling you. I was not saved at this time. I had been going to a number of meetings just before that. Sat down and I took a drag of the devil's dummy tip. And man of dears, I never in my life tasted anything like it. I thought someone had put a piece of barbed wire down my throat. That was fair enough. And then I took the bottle. Wasn't glasses in those days. You had to be a man. Some man. And there we took a slug of the devil's buttermilk. And I was certain sure I was poisoned. Never in life have I tasted anything like it. I've never tasted it since. I never smoked another fag, because what I did, I got the fag, screwed it out, pushed it into the ashtray, set the glass down, and I says to my friend, "That's me, and that finished." From that night to this, I never touched it. The desire went like that. Total and absolute, gone forever. I walked out of the bar, down the wee side bit, out onto Key Street, and there the men of Larne Mission Hall were standing. They had an old father, lovely old man, and there he stood smiling. And there was I, standing with them, a sober sinner, simply a sober sinner. That was how it was, down the open airs. Anyway, off we went home on the Saturday night. How you know that? It was always the Saturday night, we down the open airs. And off we went home, happy with our lot. And we went back to the hall again. That was in the boardroom in the town hall in Larne, up the steps, into the meetings, and all it went. So this particular night, we went in. And we sat down, and all of those beautiful hymns that were singing there tonight, they were singing them. Boy, it was some meeting. So we're sinners that wasn't saved, knew nothing a little about it, didn't know the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanse us from all sin. Underline the word, all sin. But anyway, this boy got up and he started to preach. And during his preaching, don't ask me now, because I don't even know what he was preaching on. But he says this: could it be that the undertaker, man of dears, I said to myself, what's this? Could it be that the undertaker has your coffin and your shroud ready, and he done that for you? And I was sitting in the middle of that meeting, and there was this hand pointing directly at yours truly. And I'm so thankful I wasn't sitting in one of these things, because the person then would have felt the ripples. I sat and trembled, the fear that the undertaker could have my coffin ready for me. And by the way, I was only, as I talk about, I was only a cub, late teens. Anyway, out we went, troubled in soul, didn't know what was going on. But down the stairs, and my wee brother, I call him a wee brother, because he's smaller than me, but I'm the youngest of the whole squad. Followed me down, wee Sam followed me down to the bottom of the steps, and they started to tell him about what was happening. He says, "Sure, come back in again, and we'll have a chat." I says, "No, Sam, I'm all right." I says, "I'm heading for Hayne." That's what we called home. In our Ballymena language, "I'm heading for Hayne." So off I went. Man of dears, it was a long 8 mile. A long 8 mile until I got home to Mum and Dad. So that was grand. Back to work. Work wasn't very pleasant. But back to work. And read books like Pardon, Assurance and Peace with God. Back into the meetings again. Different preacher. Couldn't believe my ears. Couldn't believe what I was hearing. A different man from a different part of the world. And there he was, preaching. What he was preaching about, don't know. Brain dead. Anyway, he goes, "Could it be?" And I go, "No." "That the funeral undertaker has your coffin and your shroud ready for you. Well, I tell you, I trembled. A fear gripped my soul. And as I came out of the meeting that night, this gentleman, there was another man with me. This gentleman says to me, "Are you saved, young man?" "No, I'm not saved. Would you like to be saved?" And I could tell you something. I was a happy man to go into the wee ante room, the back of the hall. And there I asked my wonderful, wonderful Saviour to save a wretch like me. That was back in 1967. That's when I found this wonderful friend who shed his precious blood, came into my heart, saved me, set me free. And I'm still worshipping the Saviour. That was in 1967, early 1967. I still carried on going to the mission hall. It was a lovely place. Still carried on going to the open airs. Man, it was some fun in the open airs in those days. Some of the guys who were to come up alongside of us, man, they were foolish. Because we had got rid of the drink. We got rid of the smokes. Gone. Far away. They'd come up and they'd said to you, "What would you do with that?" They were foolish because there was a drain directly below our feet. I said, "Well, give it to me and we'll see what we'll do with it." They gave it to me and I'd just done that. They were too late, it was gone. So that was what was happening. But during those days, we had a session in Garden Moor Presbyterian Church in Victoria Road, big mansion of a church. This was later on now. This was near there, maybe 69, 70, around that vicinity. And of course, they decided they would open a new hall. And open a new hall they did. And of course, they invited the local clerics, and I mean the local clerics, these ones with the wee white bit here, the priests and the nuns, to open this place of worship. And this caused a bit of a stir in Larne. And of course, like anything else, Free Presbyterians are fond, and man, I'm fond, of protesting. I've done a lot of it since 1967, including the one over in Scotland. Yes. But we done a protest, and some of our ministers, I don't recall just how many, turned up, Mr. Beggs, etc., etc., all of those, should I say, all of those older gentry, don't tell him I said that, were there. And we protested up and down outside Garden Moor. And that was when the Free Church was formed. And that was when I joined the Free Church. And all those years later, I'm still in Larne Free Church, serving the Lord, seeking to do my wee bit for the Saviour. I'm not a very intellectual sort of a person, very well educated, but I know enough to know this, that the Lord Jesus Christ loves me. And friend, he loves you because he came to seek and to save that which is lost. Everyone is born in sin. Everyone that was born into this world is born in sin. And you're a sinner tonight. That's all you are. But you need God's grace to save you. And His blood cleanses you from all sin. And it's only my desire to still carry on seeking to sing, to do my wee bit for the Saviour. I am not a speaker in any way. It's about 28 years since I've done this. But I am only seeking in my simple way to uplift my precious Saviour. He's precious. And if you're saved, He's precious to you. Now, what I want to do is to go back a little bit in my testimony just before I finish. I'm getting down from here. And what I want to go back to is about my father and mother. Pardon me. Pardon me. My father had died. And of course I was with him just before he died. And he says to me, he left me a message. First thing he says to me is, son, in his accent, God will take care of us. Of course, I had found out Daddy had saved. And I says, He will, Dad. So that was all right. My brother-in-law was sitting from England, and he hadn't answered. And Dad just looked at him. So he had to answer. And then he says to me, son, look after your mum. She's a good one. And so she was. Lovely mother. Be small lady. But man, she was a lady. Of course then, about two years after that, tragedy. Tragedy hit. And my wee mother died. Early in the morning, I left her about 11 o'clock down in the sisters. We brought her into her sisters, the sisters. And I left her one night about 11 o'clock, but I didn't sleep. I knew Mum was seriously ill. And, of course, I didn't sleep too well. I don't know what made me, but 5 o'clock in the morning, up out of bed, I left my wife and my family down to my sisters. The door was open, and in I went, and there was Mum, just breathing, barely breathing. Shortly after it, Mum died, and what a disaster. What a disaster for us as a family. We're a tight-knit squad. You hit one of us, you hurt the rest of us. And that's how we still are today. That's how we're brought up, to love each other. But Mum died. On. And this is the bit, sad bit in my life. I said, no one cares. That's sad, knowing what the Lord done for me. But I couldn't get out of my mind, Mum, my best friend, had gone. And for 3 days, I organised the funeral. And all that had to be done, we done the funeral and walked her up the lane, big steep incline, 4 of us carrying her up the lane, and drove down to Glenarm and carried her into the cemetery and left her in Mother Earth, down into the dark, cold pit, as far as I could see it. And those words still in my ears, they never left me. No one cares. For 3 days and 3 nights, think about it. And as I stood at the graveside where I was standing, I stepped forward and looked down in. I could barely see my mother's coffin because the tears were running out of my eyes. Mother had gone. And as I stooped down, my Saviour spoke. And here's the words my Saviour spoke. I've only heard this piece once at Ballygally Open Air, sung by a lady, Alma McAllister, if my memory serves me right, years ago. And here's the words that the Lord left with me. Does Jesus care when I said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me, and my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks? Is this ought to him? Does he see? Oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know. My Saviour cares. He cares, friend. No matter what your problem is, He promised he would never leave us nor forsake us. Don't be foolish, like Job loves here. Don't be foolish. Jesus cares enough. In your circumstances, he cares enough to be near. I would like to sing this piece, if I'm allowed. Thank you very much. I would like to sing this wee piece, and I'm hoping that the tune that I know is the tune that our organist knows. But what I want you to do is, it's in our own hymn book, 426. What I want you to do is to join in with me in the chorus while I seek to praise the Saviour. And I trust indeed that the Lord will be pleased to bless you. And if tonight you are not saved, this would be the night when you would come and put your trust in the Saviour. He is willing to save you. Are you willing to trust him? Thank you so much, sister.
Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song? As the burdens press, and the cares distress, and the day grows weary and long. Oh yes, he cares, I know he cares, his heart is touched with my grief. Oh, when the day daylight fades into the deep night shades, does he care enough to be near? Oh yes, he cares.
Thank you.